Since 2010, the Hudson Valley-based TMI Project has used a time-tested storytelling methodology, transformational workshops, and stellar performances in an effort to change the world one story at a time. And they have a lot going on, which is why they are here to tell us all about it. Well, the weekend of August 17th, the workshop True Storytelling with TMI Project will be at Omega's Women's Leadership Center in Rhinebeck, New York. The Trevor Project, the leading national organization providing crisis intervention and suicide prevention services for LGBTQ youth, has teamed up with TMI Project to celebrate its 20th anniversary. Eva Tenuto and Sari Botten join us now to tell us more about the Omega Workshop, TMI's documentary film Vicarious Resilience, and their partnership with the Trevor Project, and so much more. And we welcome both Eva and Sari to the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
Thanks
morning.
For having us.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much for being here and for battling the elements. Give us a sense of, well, let's start with TMI and the mission and how it comes to all of these things that we're talking about today.
Well, the mission to change the world one story at a time. We do that by working with populations of people who don't often have a chance to tell their stories or be heard, and provide opportunities to amplify those voices and those stories. So a lot of the things that you just mentioned, the work with the Trevor Project, working with LGBTQ youth, with Vicarious Resilience, our first documentary project that we did with adults working on their mental health, and at the Omega Women's Leadership Center, working with women and having a safe place for them to share stories, all feeds into the mission of changing the world one story at a time.
Anything you'd like to add to that, sorry?
I just feel really proud that we're now reaching more and more audiences and also working with different populations. I'd like to mention our Black Stories Matter program, which has grown from one performance in March 2017 to workshops in high schools and elsewhere. So I feel like we've really expanded our reach in really great ways.
And we've decided to really focus on four social justice areas. So we're really focusing our work now on race, mental health, gender, and the LGBTQ population. So those are the four places that we're really focusing our efforts.
Let's talk first about the workshop at Omega, and the two of you will be guiding this. And what ultimately do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do through these personal monologues?
This will be our third workshop at Omega Institute's Women's Leadership Center, and the last two have been amazing. It's really giving women a safe space to share stories that maybe they've been holding on to because they haven't felt that they could share them without being scrutinized or dismissed. So that's a great way to give up women, not give them a voice, amplify their voices.
What have the past 2 years been like?
The past 2 years have been great. We've pretty much sold out both years, so if people are interested, they should register right away. We have a great intimate group of people. It's a good workshop if people are interested in getting a taste of what the writing process is like and being a part of that without doing a full main stage performance. Not everyone feels comfortable performing in front of a huge audience, and at this particular workshop, they don't. They will come up with their own 3-minute stories by the end of the workshop, and they will perform for one another. So they will be given all of the skills that they need to edit their stories, skills and tips on live storytelling so that they can make the most out of performing their stories, but it won't be for a huge audience at the end. So it's really a much more intimate environment than one of our other performances where we might be in front of hundreds of people at the end.
What is the key to strengthening one's ability to be effectively heard?
A combination of things. Learning that you don't need to include every element of an experience. You don't need to put a lot of backstory. You don't have to tell us what happened afterward. It's really focusing on a particular experience as its own story with a beginning, middle, and end. And we have exercises designed specifically to help you locate what we call a hot spot. It's where a turning point, where something happens. And in live storytelling, you really only need to tell that story, not who you were before, not who you became after, just the story.
I like this idea of, okay, we're not going to worry about grammar or punctuation right off. We're just going to talk about the story. Well, let's get to the story out of the way. Do most people come with a story, or do they have to think about it?
A lot of people come worried that they're not going to have a story, and feel concerned that they're not going to have a final product at the end. And I, after all of these years of doing that, that is not ever a worry for me.
That's not been a problem.
It's not been a problem. And, you know, it's so interesting. A lot of people think their own stories are boring. They're not painful enough. They're not funny enough. We're just constantly judging ourselves against the other stories that we hear and thinking that we're not good enough. But the truth is, when you're being honest about yourself and you're not trying to be more poignant or more hysterical than the next person, we really are intrigued by each other's truths. And I think that's another thing that really plays into having people listen to you, is when you're being authentic, when you're really trying to share your true experience and your true voice. And you're telling your story. You're not sharing somebody else's. You're talking about an experience that really changed you in some way, and you're being honest about your shortcomings in the process.
So give us an example of some of the diagnostic questions that you would ask someone who comes in and says, I don't have anything. I've got nothing. That you say, okay, and try to mine it, to find that nugget that can be turned into something.
We use very targeted writing prompts that are designed to help you think of stories you had forgotten about, or to think of stories you've been telling forever from a new angle. And to add to what Eva just said about people thinking they don't have stories, we also often have people come in with a story they're very sure they want to tell, and we ask them actually to let go of it. And maybe that will be the story you tell this weekend, but give us the chance to sort of mess with your mind a little bit. Give us a chance to draw something else out that you didn't realize you were going to tell.
Yeah, I would also say that all of our workshop leaders are trained to listen. I would say that that's probably our most important job. So we do prompt them, and Sari comes up with the best prompts for getting people to open up and share honestly. And then all of us are listening to every single free write for themes that might be buried in there that we can pull out and say, you know, in your next writing, why don't you expand on that? Talk a little bit more about this thing. And by the end of the writing process, we're not handing out prompts anymore that we've curated ahead of time. We're giving people personalized prompts and then taking them through an exercise where they brainstorm and come up with their own. So they're really guiding the next stage of their story. So there really is a way that we go through getting them to open up and get their creative juices flowing, and then help guide them along the way.
And this all takes place in a very short period of time.
At Omega it does. It happens Friday night. We have two sessions Saturday, and then they read their 3-minute stories on Sunday. It's an intensive program. But we do others that are 10 weeks long. Or weekends, you know, they're all different models.
Mm-hmm. So let us talk about the Trevor Project and how you became intertwined with this organization and working so hard with them.
Well, actually, we in 2016, we honored Eve Ensler, the writer of the Vagina Monologues and founder of V-Day. I started TMI Project by directing the Vagina Monologues a couple years in a row, and the third year asked if we could tell our own stories instead, and that was how TMI Project was born. So it was a really sweet, full circle moment to be able to acknowledge her for her work. And she brought James Lacine with her when she came to the award ceremony, and he is the co-founder of the Trevor Project. So after the show was over, James came up to me on stage and grabbed me by my hands and said, I know what I'm doing for the rest of my life. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm working with you. So he was clearly very moved by the work we did. It was also a showcase of the work we had done in our community outreach initiative that year. And we have been working together ever since, planning this big project that we have coming up. We did a national call for stories from people who are part of the LGBTQ community, who have survived suicidal ideation or attempts and found a solution. Some of them called the Trevor Hotline or the Trevor Lifeline and made a call that was life-saving, and they'll be sharing those stories. And others found other solutions, but it's going to be an evening of stories of hope and commitment to life and working through all of our struggles and inspiring each other with the stories that we have to share. So that's happening in New York City on November 5th. We've finally picked the applicants, and they'll be coming in from all over the country.
What was that process like?
Picking the applicants?
Yeah.
it was a hard call to put out. You know, the Trevor Lifeline is an anonymous call, so we don't have a data bank of people to go through. But we ended up with an exquisite, interesting group of people who have submitted their stories and are really eager to share because they know what it's like to suffer through something that could cause, could end your life and make it through to the other side. And they want to share their hope and inspiration with others. So I'm really excited to work with all of them.
How do you see it moving forward with Trevor Project?
Well, with Trevor Project and all the other work that we're doing, one thing that we really are working to do moving forward is to keep our work local, our in-person work local and in this area, but using digital assets and online workshops and documentaries so that we can reach more people with our stories. So that's a direction that we're moving in. We also are going to be honoring James Lacine, co-founder of the Trevor Project, at this year's Voices in Action on September 29th. And I'm really looking forward to acknowledging him for all of the great work that he's done. But I think that it's a program that's going to develop over time, and I don't think that this will be our last project together. We have talks of a summer camp for LGBTQ teens where they'll come and learn to tell their stories and then perform at the end, and other programs that'll happen after this initial one.
We have another documentary in the works, too.
We do.
Which is?
Locker Room Talk.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a project that we've done in collaboration with A Call to Men, an organization that works with men on toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm. And we're running out of time, but real quick, tell us about Vicarious Resilience.
Vicarious Resilience is a documentary that follows three participants through a 10-week workshop that we offer at the Mental Health Association of Ulster County. And you get to know Haley, Barbara, and Morris and meet them before they take the workshop, get to witness what they go through as they discover what stories they want to tell and find the courage to share their stories on stage, and then hear a little bit about what the process is like and how it changed them. So that is that's the documentary. And on August 9th, we actually have a performance at MHA, a live performance at 2:00. And on August 15th, we have another live performance with Repco at Lace Mill in Kingston. And all can be found on our website, tmiproject.org.
That is the place. It's tmiproject.org. And we'll have a link to that website on our website, along with this interview, by simply going to wamc.org/roundtable. Or again, as Eva mentioned, tmiproject.org. O-R-G. Eva and Sari, I thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing and for sharing with us this morning. I wish you all the luck in the world, and thank you both.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
You too.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.